on the Bulldog Sports Network from Learfield IMG College. This is the Justin Hutson Coaches Show, brought to you by A-Plus Signs, California Business Machines, by Doghouse Grill, by Fresno Rack and Shelving, by Mega Prince, Suncrest Bank, and by United Security Bank. Now live, this is the Justin Hutson Coaches Show. Here is your host, the voice of the Bulldogs, Paul Leffler.
Hey, good evening. It's a packed place out here at the Elbow Room at Fig Garden Village. Told you. We're out on the patio, and how about this weather, huh? It's not mid-February. It's got to be April or May, right? That's what it feels like. Beautiful week here in the Valley. And we're talking Bulldog basketball out here on the patio until 7 o'clock. The fire's going in the corner just in case a breeze catches you. The same fine food here at the Elbow Room that you're used to. You can get anything you want from the menu of drinks and food. That burger looks perfect right over there. It's cut in half, so I can see the pink right in the middle. Oh, yeah, everybody's having a good time here at the Elbow Room. We're here till 7, and we do have tickets to give away. The Bulldog men's team plays Wednesday night at home against Air Force. That is Salute to Service Night. And there are a few ways you can get free tickets, which we're going to talk about. I'm holding 5 pairs of tickets right here in my hand at the Elbow Room, and I'm not going to be holding them at 7 o'clock. You might be holding them by then. We also have some tickets to the women's basketball game on Saturday against Nevada, the home finale for the Mountain West champion, Fresno State women's team. I see some questions already coming in on Twitter. If you have one and you can't join us here at the Elbow Room, use the hashtag AskHut. Or if you want to direct it to assistant coach Tarvish Felton, as Alex did here, use the hashtag AskFelton, I guess. But AskHut will work, too, for Coach Felton. Even before you showed up, Coach, they had some questions waiting for you.
Uh-oh.
What's this year been like for you? I mean, I've talked to Coach Hutt a lot about it. Talked to Coach Brown a couple weeks ago. I've talked to you a lot of your players. You go into a year with expectations. You can never anticipate injuries or eligibility delays. Certainly can't expect concussions or some of the goofy things that have happened to your team this year. What have you seen from your players, and what are the things that kind of keep you optimistic about what's still to come?
Really good question. You know, probably the biggest thing that stands out to me that is a big tribute to them as individuals, as young men, is the fact that they seem to show up every night. And by that respect, I mean they come in, they give it their best effort. And, you know, the year's been kind of long. We've been in a lot of close ball games and kind of lost a bunch of those. And so, you know, you can kind of get down on yourself or get down on the guy next to you. But I think our guys have really shown that, you know, what it means to be a Bulldog and show up every day and work and trying to get better. And, you know, we've had different guys at different stages of the year kind of show some bright spots. You know, Jared Hyder, Orlando, you know, Nevin lately. You know, obviously, I think Noah's starting to play with a lot of consistency here on the stretch. New, Nate. We've had different guys at different points of the season kind of show, you know, what they're capable of. And that's been you know, a pleasant surprise as far as the team goes. And just kind of their will to continue to fight and try to get better. And that's kind of what we've been preaching all year long. We knew we were going to be young. You know, we knew there was going to be some ups and downs. We hoped that at this time of year we'd have a lot more ups and a lot less downs. But the kids are showing up and they're fighting. They're trying to get better. And that's all we've talked about, is trying to get better each day and just a little bit better. And so, you know, the future is bright because of those young kids that we have coming back that have shown that they can play at this level and be impact guys at this level. And so that's been fun.
Yeah, I was thinking I'll ask Coach Hutt this later. I guess I'll get your take on it too, because this is timely in the world of college sports. There's something that happened today. The ACC, the Atlantic Coast Conference, came out and said they were in favor as a conference of, across all sports and college sports, a no-sit-out transfer rule, that you could transfer once anywhere without sitting out a year.
Yeah.
How nervous does that make you as a coach in the Mountain West about, I mean, like, you've got all these stellar freshmen. I'm sure a lot of coaches would love to say, hey, that guy proved he can play. Let me snag him over here.
Sure.
What's your take on that?
You know what? It's kind of the nature of kind of where college athletics is going. You know, last year we had over 1,000 guys on the transfer list. I'm sure that number will be about the same this year. I think the biggest thing that does is it takes away the why a guy can get a waiver, a kid can get a waiver for this situation, and the same situation happens over here, and that person can't. It takes some of that out of the guesswork, out of the equation of who can get a waiver whenever. You know, we've always abided by the process of you got to always recruit the guys that are in your program first. And so, you know, you got to always be recruiting guys that are already in your program. And if you do that and you treat them right, and you know, that's all you can do. After mm-hmm. that, it is what it is. But as long as you're giving guys a reason to want to play for you and come back and do the right thing, that's all you can. That's probably all you can control. But yeah, it can be scary. But at the same time, it's another. We're gonna have to do whatever the NCAA says we can do, and the rules are the rules, and we just gotta figure out a way to make it work for us.
Well, and I guess from the optimistic standpoint, and we'll talk to Coach Hutt about this later as well. We have Coach Tarvis Felton with us for the first 30 minutes and Coach Hudson for the rest. We're at the Elbow Room in Fig Garden Village till 7 o'clock tonight. That's when we give away the free tickets. From a standpoint of if you believe in the culture you're creating, you believe in the relationships you have with your players, then you create something that's magnetic that people are going to want to transfer into,
right,
potentially, as opposed to being concerned, hey, this bigger school with a bigger arena or a beach or whatever
right.
is going to come and snake your guys out of here.
No doubt. Bigger isn't always better. And like you said, it's all about the culture and how you treat kids in your program. And obviously, when you have some success, everybody wants to go where they have a chance to be successful. And so we just got to continue to do what we've been doing. I think our culture here has been really good. I think our kids last year as seniors enjoyed playing for us. I think the kids this year have enjoyed playing for us, and that's got to be our biggest proponent. Like I said, you got to recruit the guys that are in your program on a daily basis.
Well, speaking of recruiting, Christy had a question here waiting for you that has to do with recruiting. She wants to know, is it easier to recruit players that want to stay in California, as in they're already here, or those that want to come to California for somewhere else in the country? Have you ever noticed a difference in that?
No, not really. And the reason why I say that is, you know, having had the opportunity to recruit both to California and recruit kids out of California to other places, it's probably more so about fit. You know, if a kid likes the warm weather, then, you know, you probably have a leg up there as opposed to if you find a really good player that's somewhere else. But it's mostly about fit and about relationships. You know, we have quite a few kids like Destin Whitaker, the kid that signed with us in the fall. He's from Chicago. You know, he wanted to get to warm weather, but he also passed over a lot of schools to come. He could have stayed at home if he wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't necessarily know if the weather was the deciding factor in getting him to come to Fresno State. I think it was more so with the relationship that he developed with our kids and our coaching staff. And then obviously, you know, having guys like, you know, Orlando and Jared Heider, who are kind of from warm weather climates and from Southern California, you know, those guys, they wanted to play for Coach. And so when you have, I think it's always different as it relates to warm weather or cold weather where you get your kids from. It's a good question, though.
We have Coach Tarvis Felton with us here at the Elbow Room in Fig Garden Village. Coach Hudson will be around at 6:30. And I was trying to dig back through and find that question that had the hashtag Ask Felton on it. Let's see. There it is. Okay. So Alex always is good for a few questions. For people who don't know your background, you spent, I believe, 10 years on the staff at Utah State. Is that right?
10 years, yes.
Uh-huh. The team, the Bulldogs, had that physical battle with at the Save Mart Center the other night. How physical was that game?
It was a man's game for sure. Man's game for sure. Like that game and probably our game at UNLV are probably two of the most physical games where guys are just bodies were banging in each other, and you know, it was just kind of a very tough physical play game, and not a lot of fouling because I thought both teams did a good job of getting vertical and, you know, playing clean. It was just a hard fought game. So
certainly not a lot of fouls called.
Definitely
whether
not.
There were fouls or not, there weren't a lot called.
That's the only way you know if it's a foul or not, if they called it.
And it actually, that was one of those strange games.
where for folks who don't pay close attention to college basketball, maybe they don't realize that every 4 minutes of the clock, there's a media timeout.
Supposed
so
to be.
Once you get under 16 minutes, the next whistle, it's a timeout.
Yeah.
And then there's going to be another one under 12 minutes. This was a game where the under 16-minute timeout didn't come till 11, less than 12 minutes.
Yeah, 11:43.
Crazy.
Yeah.
It was
and
crazy.
Then we got two back-to-back. And
Yeah. Within 12 seconds.
Both teams had guys out there. They were gassed. My boy Nate was Nate was like, Coach, I need one. We're like, well, we can't stop the game, Nate. You just got to keep playing.
So here's the question that is related to your time at Utah State. This is from Alex, and he said he's taken one off the board for you. He says, besides Marvell Harris, Fresno State's all-time leading scorer,
yeah,
who were the toughest Fresno State players for you guys when you were on the staff at Utah State to game plan against? The toughest Bulldogs in your time at Utah State for you to game plan against?
I'm gonna age myself here because there's quite a few. Tyler Johnson was hard to guard because he could shoot it and go by you a little bit and get up on the rim. So he was really tough to guard. The other kid that was obviously Paul George was you know, you had to get ready for him. But I think it was his freshman year, Sylvester Seth, because he could really stretch the defense. He was one of those, you know, pick and pop, four or five guy, and he could put it on the floor a little bit as well. Those guys were always hard to guard for our teams there at Utah State. So those were probably the first three that kind of come to mind during my time.
And when you say stretch the defense, you're not talking about the 70-foot buzzer beater he hit against Utah State to force overtime here at the Save Mart Center, right?
Yeah,
remember that?
Yes, I was sitting right there, and he gets it off of a free throw. And just turns and throws it. And I got to Sylvester.
Sylvester Say, yeah.
And I had the perfect angle. And then as that going, I go, well, I can't tell you what I really said. But I went, that's going in. And sure enough, it went bang. And it was just, and we had to go to overtime. And, man, that was a really good game. And I will never forget that. That he just turned and just chucked that thing, baseball throw. From the foul line, like off a rebound. Like, who does that? Like, usually guys have to actually, you know, get ahead of steam, get some momentum.
Yeah.
He just turned and slung it.
We haven't seen it before or since, although I have a feeling Nevin Hart could probably pull something like that off based on a couple of half-court buzzer beaters he's already hit this year.
Yeah, he's got a little bit of range. But, no, he probably could be. He'd be close. And I think Anthony Holland – has a really good arm. He could throw that thing the other end and maybe have a chance. But that was amazing watching Say do that. And the game up in Logan that year, he made a bunch of big threes to kind of keep it close.
Mm-hmm.
And that was his junior year. That team was really good. I remember that team. And Kevin Bell was hard to stay in front of too.
He had some great games against Utah.
Wow.
I'm glad really you're not bringing up the game where your Aggies went up 22 to nothing.
No, I was. Yeah. You brought that up. I wasn't going to say anything about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wasn't going to say anything about that one.
We're glad to have you in Fresno State land now. I had to do a double take, though. You're wearing a Navy pullover there. It does have a Fresno State
right
basketball.
There.
Yeah, okay. Just checking.
Bulldog right there.
Coach Tarvish Felton here with us. Time for a break. More from Coach Felton then at 6:30. Coach Hudson as well. Got a nice big crowd out here at the Elbow Room. The weather's perfect. The menu's great. The fire's going in the corner. And we have free tickets for men's and women's basketball. So come see us at the Elbow Room in Fig Garden Village. And keep it here on 940 ESPN and the Bulldog Sports Network from Learfield IMG College. Back to the Coach Justin Hudson Show. We're here at the Elbow Room in Fig Garden Village. And you only have one more chance after tonight. Our final show of the season will be 2 weeks from tonight on March the 2nd. So put that on your calendar. We'll be here from 6 to 7 that night as well. Coach Hudson will be here shortly. And until the bottom of the hour, we have the pleasure of visiting with assistant coach Tarvish Felton. He's answered some tough questions already, and maybe you have some for him as well. You can bring him here to the Elbow Room. Or you can ask him on Twitter, attach that hashtag, AskHut. That way we'll find it. Wednesday night, the Bulldogs host Air Force. It's a 7 o'clock tip. And if you go to our 940 ESPN Twitter page, you'll find the link. We just retweeted it from Fresno State, a link where you can get tickets 2-for-1. 2-for-1 deal for tickets. It's online only for that game Wednesday. I have a better deal, though, for you. You can come to the Elbow Room tonight and win a pair of tickets. Or Here's the best one of all. If you're a veteran, if you've ever served in our armed forces, all you have to do Wednesday night is go to the Save Mart Center ticket office, show them that you have served in our armed forces, and they're going to give you a free ticket. It's Fresno State's way of thanking you for your service to our country as the Bulldogs take on a team of young men who have all pledged their commitment to serve in our armed forces as well at the Air Force Academy. Coach Felton, the first time you guys played Air Force, it was on the road. Your team had come off some difficult games. You played a game without Nate Grimes, and Boise State had its way with you here at home. That was kind of a breakthrough game for you up in Colorado Springs, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was one of those games where, like I said earlier, your kid showed some resiliency. You know, we came off the road. We'd been in Wyoming and Colorado for a week, and then come home, and right away we played, short turnaround and played Boise, and we were on fumes, especially that second half of the Boise game. And then we got a loss like that. Now you got to go on the road and go and play one of the hardest places to play in the league, you know, being at the academy and just kind of that whole environment back in the altitude. And our kids responded. They did. They came out with a lot of energy, and I think it was a tie ball game at half, and we just kind of had a really good second half. And, you know, New got hot, made some shots, but I thought Jared Hyder did a really good job of making plays for other people, and it was a complete team win.
Especially on the defensive side, yes, where you took Lavelle Scotty really out of the game, their best player, and you played, I think, about 35-plus minutes of zone in that game.
I think we played two possessions of man-to-man the whole game.
So more like 38 minutes of zone.
39 and a half. Yeah,
with some pressure to set it up.
Yeah, no doubt. And it was good for us. It was a big part of the game. And, you know, that offense that they run, it's really hard to guard. It'd be really hard for a group of veterans to try to defend man-to-man wise in the half court. But with so many young guys out there and inexperienced out there, we felt like it'd be better served for us to kind of just play zone, so we didn't have to guard all the back cuts and all the stuff that they like to run, and just kind of it was one of those kind of deals. And so our kids really bought in. It was a good game. We were able to kind of neutralize Scotty a little bit and get it going.
We're here at the Elbow Room in Fig Garden Village. If you've got a question for Assistant Coach Tarvish Felton or Head Coach Justin Hutz, it's sent it our way on Twitter with that hashtag AskHut. Is that coffee for me?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I know Coach Hutt's going to want his in a little bit. Yeah, what about you? You need anything?
No, I'm not a coffee guy.
I mean, they've got water. They've got soda. They've got all kinds of stuff here.
Sure, I'm going to have a water here in a minute.
Oh, let's get Coach a water. All right. Outstanding. I've got a lot of questions here to choose from. One of them is the same here in person, Bright Minds Think Alike, as one that came in on Twitter from Alex. And they're looking ahead. I know as coaches you try not to look ahead, but a lot of people are looking at the current seedings and saying, well, here's what it says. Since there's a good likelihood that Fresno State and Air Force could play in the Mountain West Tournament in Las Vegas, will that have an influence on what you guys do here on Wednesday night? Do you need to keep that in mind and maybe save a few things or have a wrinkle or change things up in light of the possibility that you could play them a third time here in just a short period of time?
For me, I would say no. And the reason why is we're trying to win every game. So whatever we need to do to win the next one, that's what we're going to do. Playing a team like Air Force, you get what you get from them at the offensive end. So we kind of know what we're going to get from them as far as kind of how they play. And so, you know, you really got to be able to be aggressive. And the season's split up into three parts. You have your preseason, you have your conference season, then you have your postseason where, you know, the conference tournament and anything past that is. And so, you know, if we get a chance to play them again, it'll be the first game of the postseason. We're just going to try to, you know, do what we can do to try to win that next game. It's about surviving in advance by then. But as it relates to Wednesday, we're just going to try to win the next game.
The next game is Wednesday, 7 o'clock at home against Air Force. I told you that veterans get in free, current military get in free, and students get in free. That's always the case. Every game, students get in free. Students can always bring a guest in free. So if you're a Fresno State student, don't forget that. The Dogs could use you Wednesday night. Three games left in the regular season. Two of them are right there at home at the Save Mart Center, Wednesday night at 7, and then the final day of February against Wyoming for senior night. you know, some of these questions I want to save for Coach Hutt so I don't put you in the crucible as much and don't get you in any trouble or make you answer something the head coach should have to deal with.
I like that. That's a good idea.
But here's a good one for you. I bet you could answer.
Okay.
Tim is always evaluating the roster. I mean, he has tabs on every guy that is on your roster currently who might be coming next year. So he's all over it, and he wants to know, Jordan Campbell, how's he doing coming back from that concussion he suffered? Any status update on Jordan?
Jordan Campbell. I'm trying to remember who that is.
You saying I should save that one for Coach Hutt?
No. I tease him all the, I've been teasing him lately because he obviously hasn't been able to practice. He's kind of been out, and so he kind of sits over there. He can watch, but he can't do anything on the floor yet. And so I tease him and say we don't even know who he is because he's not out there in uniform. And so, but no, great kid, love him to death. You know, hopefully we can get him back here pretty quick. But as of right now, he's still under protocol and trying to get it all squared away, get right, so to speak. So hopefully we'll get him. Probably won't have him for Wednesday, but hopefully he can travel maybe and be able to play at Reno.
Well, I think, you know, most people have probably watched enough football the last few years to understand the whole idea of concussion protocol. Yeah. But there are those people who, you know, if they played 5, 10, especially 20, 30 years ago, concussion protocol there was, hey, can you see straight? Are you going to puke? Do you feel like getting back in there? And sometimes even if the answer was no or yes on those, they might go back out there.
I graduated in 1999. There was no concussion protocol.
Exactly. Right?
It was.
And I'm sure there are plenty of times you collided with somebody.
Oh, yeah, all the time. Yeah. I mean, there was no illegal. They didn't call illegal screening very often. It was just you hit them, you got hit, and away you went. But it's really changed. And I mean, he got hit pretty good. Like he ran into it was a football play.
It was with no padding.
With no padding, yeah, it was a football play. He got hit pretty good, and but yeah, that's and unfortunately for us, we've had quite a few of them. AG's had one, Nivens had one, Noah had one at the start of the year. The beginning of practice, not games, but the beginning of practice, he had one.
And Chris Seeley still hasn't come back from the one he suffered.
Yes. So we've had quite a few guys that have just, I mean, it's the strangest thing. And every year is different. And I've been doing this now for 20-plus years. It's the first I've ever had to deal with that many concussions.
Well, and for people who don't understand, so what needs to happen is the player who suffered the concussion has to demonstrate to the athletic training personnel that they're beyond the effects of that concussion, that it's no longer a risk of exacerbating what happened to them before they can go back into a game. So Jordan is still waiting for that would be the answer to Tim's question there. We've got a couple more minutes with Coach Felton, and then Coach Hutson will be along shortly as well. You know, here's a good one from Bruce, because you guys have had some opportunities this year playing more minutes with freshmen than anybody else in the conference and than most teams in the country, and with the close games that you mentioned. So Bruce wants to know, as coaches, how do you come back psychologically? Not how you help the players come back, right, Bruce? But how you, as coaches, come back after there are freshman mistakes or games that you feel like we're in position to win and they get away from you late. How do you guys come back and keep believing that it's going to be different next time?
Well, I think every coach probably has a different way of doing it, you know. And we take every game hard, and obviously every loss is – I hate losing more than I like winning, and I like winning a lot. But you try to keep it all in perspective and try to understand that they are – you know, you're out there with a bunch of young guys, and it's men's basketball, and we got a lot of guys who – they're not quite men yet. They're still boys trying to become men, and you try to take that into consideration, and you try to improve whatever mistakes that were made in that game to help them get better so maybe they don't make those mistakes again. And you pray a lot. I go home and play with my five-year-old a lot, and I yell at him because I don't want to yell at our guys. I do. He can take it, though. He's tough. He can take it. But
there's a follow-up to that question, but I don't know if I want to ask it.
We just try to. It's a wonderful, rewarding profession. but you kind of deal with some of that stuff, and you just kind of try to take it internally, and you always have faith that it's always going to turn. It's going to even itself out. As many close ones as we lost, hopefully we got some close ones down the way that we're going to have a chance to win. So,
you know, I've got one for you, and I've got confidence you can answer anything that I'm throwing your way, but thanks for taking some of these tough ones here. Wednesday night with Air Force coming in, as I mentioned, it's salute to service night, so anybody who's ever served in the armed forces is going to get in free on Wednesday night. But the other thing that's been happening throughout conference play for anybody who's been to the games is every home game there's a hero of the game. And some of them have been guys that I know and have had the privilege of interviewing, like this last time, Ray Lee, who's 96 years old, one of the last living Chinese-American veterans of World War II. And the applause that he got when they introduced him was louder than anything else that happened all night. One of my regrets is that you guys are always busy in a timeout talking about the game, so your players don't have a chance to meet him or shake his hand or anything.
Yeah.
But do you guys ever wonder what's going on when you hear the crowd just going crazy because one of these awesome veterans is getting honored?
I never even noticed.
You got the tunnel vision.
I'm not
vision,
saying
huh?
that because Coach is standing right here. I'm saying I never even noticed because you're just kind of – I don't know if you noticed. Like, during timeouts, I'm either doing one or two things. I'm either jawing at an official or I'm kind of over there behind Coach just trying to make sure everybody else is paying attention. So I really never even noticed what's going on. And hopefully something good's happening. Somebody made a shot to win some money or a baby,
free pizza.
A baby smiled or something, but or you know, we're honoring somebody that deserves it. So that's good to hear, but I'm oblivious to most of that stuff, man.
You mentioned getting on a ref. You scared me the other night. I saw you jumping up off the bench and going out on the court. Then I realized, oh, it's a timeout. You can do that. I thought for a second we were going to have an issue there. As you mentioned, Coach Hudson is here, and it's time for us to catch a break, and then we'll have Coach Hutt on the other side. Anything else you want to say about Wednesday night's matchup or what this team might still do for the Red Wave this year?
You know what? It's been really good this year that all of our home games, they've had some energy. Like, we've had some decent crowds, and that's a tribute to you guys showing up and supporting these young men and supporting us and understanding that some brighter times are coming, for sure. They are. So, thank you. Thank you, guys.
Coach Tarvish Felton with us here at the Elbow Room in Fig Garden Village. Coach Justin Hudson will join us when we come back. If you're not here yet, hurry on over. If you want some free tickets to Wednesday night's game against Air Force, we're going to give away five pairs of them at 7 o'clock. And we also have tickets to the next women's home game, the last women's home game, against the Nevada Wolfpack on Saturday. We're here at the Elbow Room in Fig Garden Village and 940 ESPN and the Bulldog Sports Network from Learfield IMG College. At the Elbow Room in Fig Garden Village, and we now have Coach Justin Hudson along. Coach Hutz, Bulldogs take on Air Force Wednesday night. Three games left on the schedule. Two of them are at home. It starts Wednesday night against the Falcons. You can get a 2-for-1 ticket deal online only at GoBulldogs.com. And if you want the specific link to take advantage of that deal and get your tickets now, go to our Twitter page, 940 ESPN. The link is right there for you. It's also on the Fresno State men's basketball account, which you should be following anyway. And while you're on Twitter, throw a question our way for the coach. Just use the hashtag AskHut. I know Coach was expecting that Alex would have a few questions for him. He always does. And he did not disappoint tonight. I think he's got three of them waiting for you here, Coach.
All right.
Let's see which one we should hit you with first.
I don't see him here.
No, he couldn't make it tonight. He had another engagement.
Okay.
But he made sure to give you the questions, and I'm sure he's listening with an earpiece or something wherever he is. He said, with the conference tournament approaching, do you have any of your assistants start preparing for certain opponents that – you're likely to face in the conference tournament? Do you have them start ahead of time, or do you keep your normal routine and that rhythm of next opponent scouts?
Alex has some good questions. He's pretty inquisitive about the process of stuff. We pretty much stay on course, you know, especially so when you're trying to get better.
Sure.
When you're in the position that we're in, you're putting one foot. I heard you ask Coach Felton a question about how you get up for the next game. Just put one foot in front of the other. All you can really do is, you know, you don't want to keep giving speeches and keep making excuses or get out of character. You just put one foot in front of the other. So that goes into focusing on what you're doing for the next opponent. You actually get out recruiting a little bit more, you know, when it's this way. But did that when we were – a number one seed last year when we were a three seed, and this year when we're a lower seed, it's you really focus in on the next game.
And you've been in this conference for a lot of years. Have you seen both sides of that dynamic of, as a coaching staff, you spend too much time thinking about what your seed might be and what the matchups might be, as opposed to just getting there and playing the game and taking care of business from that point out?
Each person is different, right? Just, you know, it's like each player is different. I'm the guy that I don't look past anything. Mm-hmm. Now, you will, when you do get to the conference tournament and you figure out who you're going to play, you're going to scout that team, and then for the next game, you will have an assistant watch one team and an assistant watch another team.
Right.
So they'll start watching that film. But you're not going to start this early. So, if you're playing on a Thursday and you know you could either play one of these two teams on a Friday, yes, one assistant will scout one team, another one for the other. But for that Thursday game, you're putting all in on that Thursday game.
I hear you. Here's a good question from Kathy that I bet you don't get all that often. But after all, as our friend Mike Batesel always reminds us, it's college baseball, not baseball college, and it's college basketball, not basketball college. So Kathy wants to know how your players are doing in school. How's the academic piece of things going for this team? That we've watched what's happening on the court and plenty of learning happening there, but what's going on in the classroom?
We ended, I think it was a 2.9 fall semester, which was pretty good. You know, anything over a 2.5 for us is great. You know, I think last year we ended at a 3.0. Our three seniors, you know, have a tough spring to graduate, you know, and they got a chance. They definitely got a chance, and that's what the goal is, to make sure those suckers get out of here with a degree.
That is the goal. Amen. We're talking to Coach Justin Hudson. We're here at the Elbow Room in Fig Garden Village. I bet you want some coffee, huh?
I do.
We'll get that coffee going for you. This Illy coffee at the Elbow Room is my favorite. If you haven't eaten at the Elbow Room, I mean, you don't have to come tonight. You can come any night of the week. You can come for the Sunday brunch. We only have one more of these shows 2 weeks from tonight, and we're giving away tickets tonight. In fact, at 7 o'clock, my buddy EJ over here is going to pick some winners out of the hat. You didn't even hear me say his name. Aren't you, EJ? Aren't you going to pick the winners for me here at 7 o'clock? Okay, at 7 o'clock. Not yet. At 7 o'clock. Let's get another question for Coach Hudson. And I guess this was inspired by what happened on Saturday night against Utah State. Christy's question. As a coach, she says, in the middle is not a possible option here. As a coach, do you prefer a game that is called too tight or too loose? Or on that end of the spectrum, a game where there's a lot of whistles. Hey, Alex showed up, by the way. Or a game that's too loose where there aren't very many whistles, like Saturday night was, where they wouldn't blow the whistle and you didn't have the first media timeout till 11:55 to go.
Too loose, like it was.
You like it like that?
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't have to worry about your guys fouling out?
When you have the better players, too, you definitely want it too loose.
Mm-hmm.
And usually what happens when teams have good players, they decide to call it loose. The referees don't want to be part of star players sitting out, especially when you get into conference play. They all know who's supposed to be good, and they know reputations. So when you get a veteran crew, they're pretty much kind of going to foul Merrill out or Kata out. And they don't want to call them on new, even though new fouls sometimes. They don't want to. You know, that's the way it goes. But when you play in the preseason, it doesn't happen whatsoever. It could be two quick calls on your best player, and one of them could be bad, and you could be sitting there for a while. But it usually doesn't happen that way in conference.
See how fast they got that coffee out here for you?
I appreciate it.
They're on it here at the Elbow Room in Fig Garden Village. Here's another question that came in on Twitter using that hashtag AskHut. I believe this is another Alex question. Yep, sure is. And we'll see how you want to handle this. He said, outside of San Diego State, which obviously when you're the only undefeated team in the country, they're impressing everybody right now. He says, outside of San Diego State, which conference team has impressed you the most and presents the toughest matchup? Or is the asterisk there how it's going to be officiated? Does that change who the toughest matchup is?
No, probably Colorado State and Utah State.
That's what I thought you were going to say.
Those two are very close. You know, Utah State's so cerebral and experienced and having a rim protector. You know, and Colorado State has a nice mixture of athleticism and youth and experience, and they're really clicking well together.
Mm-hmm.
Those two, I would say. Well, we'll see if the Bulldogs get an opportunity to play any of those teams in Las Vegas. The conference tournament is coming up the first week of March. But Wednesday night at the Save Mart Center, it's the Bulldogs and the Falcons of Air Force. Veterans get in free. Students get in free. You could get in free if you win our tickets here at the Elbow Room in Fig Garden Village. So hurry on over and keep it here on 940 ESPN and the Bulldog Sports Network from Learfield IMG College. That a college athlete should have the chance to transfer once with no penalty, not have to sit out at all. One transfer, just leave and go wherever you want and play right away. It's not adopted nationally yet. That's just the ACC putting it out there. But everybody's reacting to it, so I'm curious your reaction. What would that mean for Fresno State if that became the policy of the country?
It's a loaded question because the political answer is always what's best for the student-athlete, right? Student-athlete welfare, more freedom for them. And then when you hear people on ESPN, they talk a lot about, well, coaches can leave for different jobs, you know, but it's really apples and oranges. Coaches pay buyouts.
Right.
There's not necessarily 400 coaches leaving for different jobs like there's over 400 transfers.
It's true.
So it's coaches get fired. I've yet to see a player get fired. So it's apples and oranges. You know, yes, there can be some bad times when you recruit a young man and you tell him how great it is here in Fresno and you develop a relationship with him and you spend time and then you leave 2 weeks later and go somewhere else. It's bad and it hurts. But you're talking about there's one instance. So what it would mean for Fresno, you know, people would recruit off each other's bench, you know.
Or the starting lineup.
It's already I think this group can understand this even better than others and the people that are turning in and listening in who have kids and stuff. It's already a microwave society. It's already a quick fix society. Mm-hmm. So think about the parents of the kids that I'm recruiting right now. How old are they? And how patient are they? Because I'm a parent, so, you know, I go to the games and I want my daughters to play and I think they should get shots. And, you know, so imagine what every coach is dealing with on having a player that way. So they just up and leave. So if there's no time to say, well, maybe I will stick it out one more year and I don't want to sit, I'll just up and leave. And, you know, it'll be what it's going to be. Those are things. I'm not a big guy. I try not to worry about stuff I can't control. And those situations are not really based on student-athlete welfare. Those situations are based on they're tired of getting sued. They're tired of people being able to go at the NCAA. So the NCAA is just trying to wash their hands of everything on the basketball stuff and basically say you can do what you want to do and go out. So it'll just be different. You'll be, if there's a guy in the Big Sky that's really playing well and we knew who he was, he'll want to come to Fresno. We'll say, come play in the Save Mart Center. If there's a guy in Fresno State that's playing well, UCLA, say, come play there.
Yeah.
And it'll happen. And it doesn't matter how great a relationship you have, it will happen.
Well, and that's the danger I was thinking of, but I think I read between some of your comments to hear also, while it sounds like it's for student-athlete welfare, if you're removing that barrier that makes you think twice about it, that makes you make well ensure that that's what you want to do to transfer, which is the one-year sit-out rule, that makes you consider it heavily and say, I really want to do this, I'm sure I want to do this. If you remove that, guys will do it more flippantly, and you might end up where he didn't have a chance to develop here. He goes somewhere else. He's not developed enough yet. And they don't want him anymore because they're getting another transfer from somewhere else. And you see a guy that instead of being at a school 4 years and getting a degree is back out trying to figure out what to do with his life. Am I taking that too far or is that a real danger in your mind of what's happening there?
I think they'll always find a way to get it done. And if you're a good student, you'll probably find a way to graduate depending on wherever you go, how many times you transfer to tell you the truth, if that's important to you. You know, and you know, most of the people we're talking about aren't going to the NBA anyway.
Mm-hmm.
To tell you the truth, that's a small group.
Very
small. So it's just going to be a lot of people that think they're going to the NBA and they thought it was their teammates or their coach's fault or the city's fault or the arena or the referee's fault, and they'll just up and leave. And that's basically what will happen. And it won't necessarily be for good or bad decisions. And it doesn't mean their life, you know, we've all made bad decisions before and we can overcome them. And that's what happens. And sometimes it'll be good decisions and good things that happen. But you definitely will not have to sit back and think about it. If you're just impulsive, you can just go.
I apologize. I realize we've got to squeeze one more break in this hour, so we'll take that now and come back with the rest of Coach Hudson's thoughts. Be there Wednesday night at the Save Mart Center, and if you don't have tickets yet, you can get them 2-for-1 online only. The link is on our Twitter feed. Keep it here on 940 ESPN and the Bulldog Sports Network from Learfield IMG College. The Elbow Room in Fig Garden Village, and we're almost out of time. Just another 5 minutes or so. If you've got a question for the coach, you can submit it via Twitter with the hashtag AskHut. Wednesday night at the Save Mart Center, it's the next-to-last home game of the year. The Dogs have 3 games left in the regular season. 2 of them are at home. Wednesday, Air Force the opponent. Salute to Service Night, so veterans and current military get in free. Students always get in free, can always get a guest in free. And you can get tickets 2-for-1 if you go online to GoBulldogs.com. You can find the link on our 940 ESPN Twitter feed. We only have a few minutes left. I want to get a quick comment on Air Force, but Tim had a question here too, Coach, about the quirk of the schedule. Here you're talking about most of these games. You're seeing a team a second time. You still haven't seen Nevada yet at all, and you won't until Saturday in the next-to-last game of the regular season to face them a first time. Does that present any challenges for you guys as a team, or you just say, hey, that's different, but oh well?
I don't know if the Nevada presents any challenges, but I know definitely playing San Diego State like 1 week and then playing them the next week, that was different.
Mm.
You know, you would have liked that to be spread out a little bit more, especially when we were hurt, you know, and it's being so early. It was definitely a challenge playing those two league games early.
The two in December?
Yes. Yeah. But it's quirky, I think, the words that you guys use, to not have played Nevada yet, definitely. It's definitely quirky, and it's weird, it's strange, but it's, I don't know if it's any worse of a challenge. They haven't played us either, so.
That's right. That's right. They do just, you know, we won't have another show between now and when you play them Saturday. Certainly people are finding out who Jalen Harris is.
Wow.
He's a prolific scorer.
He's very good. Wish Musk would have took him when he left.
Yeah.
That's a Musk recruit. He was the best in the business at getting those older guys to come in.
Yeah.
How he did that, you know, in a lot of different ways is brilliant. You know, to be able to get that many older guys to come in year after year, have guys sitting out for the school to be allowing them to get in, and their APR must be good, so I don't know what they're doing with grad school or different things that way, because there's a lot of different challenges that way. But, you know, he sticks out on film, even though we haven't played him. We played teams that have, and you say, wow, that guy's good.
And the Bulldogs will see him Saturday night, but Wednesday night, the Air Force Falcons, a team that you had a great second half against and beat by double digits on the road, and a game where this is very unorthodox for you, 39 minutes of zone. So are you going to have to change that up again on Wednesday night, or are we going to see another healthy dose of that?
We'll see both.
All right.
You know, it's we were the master at guarding that Air Force Princeton defense. You know, been in this conference 15 years and how to guard the flares and the curls and where they drive and the back cuts. And it changes with their personnel, but you're not going to put too many of our young guys and even our older guys the way they are out there trying to guard too much of that. So, because even when they run the clock down, they're in rhythm. You know, when they do score, it's deflating. So we'll mix it up between man and zone.
And we'll be there Wednesday night. It's a 7 o'clock tip at the Save Mart Center. Hope you're going to be there as well. Coach, I know this season has had its challenges. What keeps you going? What keeps you believing in the young men that you have in this program and what they might still be able to accomplish this year?
Good young men, you know, trying to send the seniors off strong and get the underclassmen better. And understanding that you have no choice. We talk about it a lot every day, probably too much. I probably talk to them too much, but I want to make sure that my message is being heard over the outside messages that they hear from their uncle or their aunt or their cousin or their high school coach or the AU coach saying, you're the reason that you should be shooting it. You know,
right.
So I'm trying to say the message that I have is, what choice do you have? Mm-hmm. Are you going to have a bad attitude? Are you not going to work hard? Are you going to point fingers? Are you going to come in here and get better? And we have a good group of young guys, and I'm proud of them, and they came to work hard today.
Well, and we look forward to seeing their work on Wednesday night. He's Coach Justin Hudson. We're out of time. We'll be back here in 2 weeks for the final Coach Hudson Show of the Year, March the 2nd from 6 to 7. Thanks for listening on 940 ESPN and the Bulldog Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.